Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on insurance is a crime when we come back. You know, over the past century, we Americans who were once independent, capable, and able to manage our own financial, medical, and legal affairs have now been reduced to dependence, to incompetence, to incapacity. And we have now made and been made wards of powerful commercial, financial, medical, and legal corporations, cartels, and bureaucratic institutions in our modern industrial society. And we've been taught to rely upon these paid professionals. Professionals like bankers to manage our financial affairs and doctors to manage and treat our health problems and lawyers to direct our business and legal affairs instead of relying upon our own good common sense. That's why I contend that it's time that we Americans who were once able to catch our own fish learn once again how to fish instead of being fed by these paid legal professionals. You know, regaining our power of attorney is the single most important step in regaining our capacity, our rights, our liberties, and our duties. Now, if you'd like to learn more about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you write for my free general law CD package. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. Send me an email, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, we're talking about insurance as a crime. I pointed out to you, it's not a crime here in the United States. In fact, it's probably a requirement. It's probably the law requires you to have this insurance, but it violates the law of God. God told us a couple of times, you know, in Acts 5:29, he said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So when it comes down to where we got to make a choice over here, you know, maybe we ought to think this over a little bit. Jesus had an observation. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word, that's every word, preacher, hey, preacher, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There ain't a preacher in America believes that statement. Not very many people do either, but preachers sure as hell don't. Now, in Leviticus 18, verses 3 through 5, this God, the other God, you know, the guy I'm telling you about here, he said that we ought not to practice the law of Michigan, New York, and California. We ought to practice his law instead. And under his law, he practices a thing called strict liability. Strict liability means that you're responsible for your own actions. It's a wild new concept. Limited liability is where you're not responsible for your actions, the insurance company is. Somebody else. Now, in this state, when you buy an auto insurance policy, it comes under a title of law called the Financial Responsibility Act of 1976. Financial Responsibility Act, they call it. No. You got that backwards. That's the Financial Irresponsibility Act of 1976. And that's because everybody who has insurance is irresponsible. Think about it. If you have insurance, you are not responsible. The insurance company is. That's why you hired them. Because you don't want to be responsible. You want somebody else to be. And so the insurance company comes along and says, well, yeah, we'll take that bet on. We'll take that bet. I talked about that a little earlier. My dad was an insurance agent. Oh, he was mad at me when I said, well, sounds like a bet to me. No. And he'd correct me. Insurance is not gambling. Insurance is not a bet. I don't know where he got that. Insurance is gambling. Insurance is a bet. And that's why I said, I prefer the crap table because you can get a decision every 30 seconds. You can find out if you won or lost in 30 seconds. That's why I never did care much for stocks. It takes so long to find out how much you lost. You know, you can put $10 on the pass line, throw the dice, and you can look down and find out, oh, wait a minute, we placed a number. So I'll put a number 8 out there. Your chances of getting an 8 before a 7 are less than 50%. So if you threw a number, well, you know, it isn't impossible to throw a 10 or a 9 or an 8 or a 6, you know, before you throw a 7, but like as not, you're going to lose that bet. See? That's called gambling. Religious people, they get real upset about that gambling thing over there. Oh, he's playing cards. That's sin. Well, they got a point. I'm not telling you that gambling isn't a sin. I'm just pointing out that the religious people are hypocrites. See, they won't play cards. They wouldn't be caught in a Herald's Club or in a Harrah's. They wouldn't put a dollar down on the crap table, but they buy insurance, which is a crime. That's what I've been telling you here this week. You know, we've got a criminal activity going on here, and there's a penalty to pay for that crime, that criminal activity. and the premium you pay, and then the non-payment when you have this accident, when you have this hurricane hit you like Biloxi, Mississippi, and then the insurance company doesn't pay, or if they pay, they screw you out of a third of what you're entitled to, or half of it, or 10%. Insurance companies are criminal institutions, nothing more, nothing less, and they're run by people that wear Hickey Freeman suits, wear wingtip shoes, they've been to business school, they're very articulate people. I call them boardroom hoodlums. Boardroom hoodlums, as opposed to and separate from the street corner hoodlums, whether they're running a drug company or an insurance company or a bank or a church. That's a criminal activity that you're engaged in, and there are criminal penalties that are attached to it. So what they're trying to do, these criminals are trying to engage you and I in their criminal activities. They want us to participate. They want us to become accessories before and after the fact, and they want to profit off of our accessory, our criminal activity with them. So I thought I'd point that out. Now, I'm not here to tell you not to. That's your choice in life. I just wanted to point out that's a crime. My dad, he was an insurance salesman. He was a nice guy, really a great guy. I loved him. But he was a criminal, just like a lot of other people. And he believed in his criminal activity. He believed that it was the right thing to do. He believed in insurance, and he sold it. And he was right in it, right up to his eyeballs, loved it, made a lot of money at it. But he told me that it wasn't a bet. Now, let's take a look at this, and let me show you. Yeah, it is. It's gambling, and it's a bet. Now, I used to live in a place called Boise, Idaho, population about 100,000 at that time in 1980. I think it's around 150,000 today, something on that order. But at that time, a question came up as to fire insurance, because I'm an old-timey general contractor. And I knew that in a typical house fire, the fire takes place in the kitchen and costs $14,000 to repair. This is back, about 1980. It's probably two or three times that today, but at least at that time, those were the numbers that were bandied about. And there are certain companies, certain contracting companies that specialize in these fire cases, these fire jobs, this fire business. And the Rose Contracting Company in Oakland, California was one of those companies. Well, we had a fire in one of our buildings, the Harrison Apartments, on Harrison Street there in downtown Oakland. And I was the contractor for the consortium, and so we figured, hell, we'll just do this ourselves. And so the Rose Company came in at about $21,000, and I bid the job in at $14,000. So we're just going to save that $7,000 profit, which was about right. The job was bid in right. You figure about a third for material and a third for labor and a third for profit, and 21,000, 7, 7, and 7 was about the right number. So let's just take the profit ourselves, and that's exactly what I figured. I figured labor and material about 14,000. And I did the job, and that's what it came in at. In fact, it's a lesson. So we did the job in right, and we fixed the apartment up, and we took the money. But here's the thing that caught my eyeball right away. Our insurance agent said to me that I had to pony up $3,000. $3,000. See, the claims manager came in, and he wanted a $3,000 kickback. Out of the $14,000 that he was going to award on this bid, he wanted $3,000, which would have took it down to $11,000. Well, I couldn't do the job for $11,000. I had to bid the job in at $17,000 to give him $3,000 to do the job for $14,000. The Rose Company bid $21,000. So evidently they figured that they could do the job for about $18,000, pay $3,000, and they were going to do the job for $7,700 and $5,000 profit, I guess, is what they had in it. Or maybe they figured they could do the job a little cheaper than I did. Or cheaper than I thought I could do it as cost to, $7,000 for materials and $7,000 for the labor. But in any event, I refused to pay the $3,000 bribe. That's what that boiled down to. And so my insurance agent, the guy that sold us the policy on the building, said, well, that's the way the business is done. And, if you want to get along, you have to go along. And I had expressed an interest in these fire jobs, not only in our building, but I wanted to bid against Rose and the other company. There's two companies that did this. Rose was one, I forgot the name of the other one. And he said, if you want to get into the fire insurance business or the fire repair business, you're going to have to pay that $3,000. That was an eye-opener to me. I mean, this was the insurance agent that's selling the policies telling me I got to pay this. Not only did the claims adjuster tell me, but it was our insurance agent. And I said, well, I'm not paying jack diddly squat. Now, we got the bid on that job because it was our own building. But I'm never going to get a job awarded to me. I could bid $1.35 and never get the job. They don't award that to the lowest bidder. They use that as a guideline. But you got to be on the inside to get those bids. And, of course, I wanted to get into – I thought, as a young fellow, I thought that the world was honest. Hell, I didn't know that they were all a bunch of crooks. All right, so I'm just reporting to you what my experience was. And now I'm going to tell you a little story here. I was up in Boise and running a school up there called Barrister's Inn, and I got in on – a program we wanted to research out, a legal issue we wanted to research out, and it dealt with fire insurance. Now, Boise, Idaho, and I did the research on it, so I got the numbers here in front of me. Now, Boise, Idaho, at that time, city of about 100,000 plus, had about 25,000 residences. Now, the fire insurance costs at that time were about $500 a year. Now, I used to run a company called, it's called Atlantis Manufacturing Company, down on South 9th Street. And my insurance bill was $6,000 a year. Now, I had a 32,000 square foot building, and it was an old building, and our fire insurance was pretty damn high. Now, $6,000 wasn't the total cost for fire insurance. It was all of our insurance, product liability, PL and PD, fire insurance. You know, we didn't cover now employees. That was another thing. That's workman's comp. But all of our extraneous insurance, you know, and that didn't cover our auto insurance. That was a separate company did that. But $6,000 a year. Now, this is a business, and they're charging us, you know, commercial rates, I suppose, and so on. Now, our question was, well, how much profit does the fire insurance industry make in a city like Boise, Idaho? Now, I told you what the profit margin was when we took a look at auto insurance in the first program in the series here. For every dollar's worth of premium that they take in, they pay out 11 cents. Now, when I broke into the business, they were paying out 5 cents. They would take in a dollar and pay out 5 cents. That was back in about 1965 or 6 or 7, long in there somewhere. And then they complained bitterly, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, oh, my God, auto insurance is just going through the roof. Our costs are exploding. Why, they've doubled. And the insurance industry didn't lie to you. When they said that their costs, their payouts had doubled in the last 20 years, they were telling you the truth. They doubled from a nickel to a dime. And, you know, hey, how many of you guys out there have a business that has about a 90% profit margin in it and your costs double? Huh? Come on, write me a letter and tell me about it, would you? And I'll cry with you all the way to the bank. Well, anyway, we sat down and we started doing a little research. And so I started with the fire departments. I said, I wanted to know, when was the last time that a house burned to the ground in Boise, Idaho? See, normally, you know, the fire department gets out there and they put the fire out, and they limit the damage to about $14,000 in a kitchen fire. So when your house catches on fire, you scream, you panic, you rush to the phone, you call 911, the fire department rushes out, they put the fire out, and it costs $14,000. This is back in 1980 now. So, you know, maybe it costs you two or three times that now, but my point is the house at that time was, well, hell, 1980, a house, you know, $35,000 was a house. I lived in a house, let's say about 1976, out on Locust Grove, $42,000. $42,000. We thought, oh my God, that's preposterous price for a house. $42,000. All right, so you're getting the picture here. Now houses are $200,000-$400,000, you know, so naturally your kitchen fire is going to be a little more than $14,000. But back in 1980, $14,000 out of $35,000 or $40,000. So it's going to amount to about a third of the value of the house, the fire, the cost. Right. So the answer is 1957 was the last time a house burned to the ground in Boise, Idaho. And that's because they got all these fire departments out there. They don't allow it to happen. Now, you're paying, let's just pick a number here, $500 a year on fire insurance. Okay, let's just pick a number. And let's say your house is worth $100,000 and you're paying $500. Now, think about this for a minute. If your house burns to the ground, you paid $500 in and you get $100,000 back. That's the theory behind this. That's 200-to-1 odds. But who's betting on what? Are you betting that your house isn't going to burn down, or are you betting that your house is going to burn down? Because in order for you to get that $100,000 check, your house has to burn down. It has to burn to the ground. You have to have a total loss. So when you pay your premium, you're saying, in effect, I'm going to put up $500. I believe, we'll leave the bet out, I believe my house is going to burn to the ground this year. And the insurance company says, we don't think it's going to burn to the ground this year. And if it does, we will pay you $100,000 for that $500 premium. Now, on a crap table, you put $5 down on the pass line, and you say, in effect, you're saying, I believe that I'm going to throw a 7 or an 11 on the first roll of the dice. Okay, so you throw the dice. And sure enough, a 7 comes up. And the croupier puts $5 down next to your $5. Now you've got 10. He's not offering you any odds. That's just an even money bet. All right, now, if you want odds, you put your $5 over on the field, say on the 12 or the 2 or 11 or something. That pays odds. Put it on the 12. What you're saying, in effect, is I'll bet you $5 that a 12 is going to come up on the next throw of the dice. And you know what the house says? They say, we'll give you 30-to-1 odds. We'll bet you, if that 12 comes up, we'll pay you 150. 30 times that $5. So you throw the dice, and you're lucky. A 12 comes up, and they pay you 150. Right now, you know, if you don't want to use the word bet, you know, just use the word, well, here's what we believe the outcome is going to be. And so you're saying, well, I believe the outcome this year is going to be my house is going to burn to the ground. And the insurance company is saying, well, we believe the outcome is going to be your house will not burn to the ground. So at the end of the year, sure enough, the insurance company was right again, and your house doesn't burn to the ground. And so you come back the second year and you say, here's another $500. Now, I believe that my house is going to burn to the ground this year, and here's my $500 premium. The insurance company says, okay, we'll take that bet. We'll take your $500 premium. And if your house burns to the ground, we will pay you $100,000. Now, the insurance company, in the terms and conditions of the contract, see, they make up the rules. They say, but if your house doesn't burn to the ground, and you just have, let's say, a fire that costs $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, well, then we'll take your $500 premium, and we will pay that $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, whatever it costs to fix your house up. We will fix your house. Okay, now you see what they're doing to you? You bet your $500 that your house is going to burn to the ground, but your house doesn't burn to the ground. It only burns half up, and they come in and fix it for $50,000. So they're not paying you the 200-to-1 odds. They're only going to pay you 100-to-1 odds. How do you like that? They've limited their liability. Now, you've limited your liability. There's no doubt about that. Because if your house burns to the ground, you don't have any insurance, and you're out the whole $100,000. You've got to go pay $100,000 to build your house over again. See where we're at here? So when I call it a bet, I ain't whistling Dixie, now throw a straw hat. Partner, I'm telling you, that's the way it is. No, that's where reality is, where the rubber meets the road. It's a bet. You're gambling. That's not the crime. Gambling isn't the crime. That's not what God's talking about here. The creator of the universe isn't concerned about you taking a bet on a crap table or taking a bet with the insurance company. He says, you're practicing limited liability, and I don't want that. I want strict liability. So here's what happens when you're down along the Gulf Coast. See, God told you, if you will obey me and keep my commandments, then everything that you put your hand to do will prosper. But if you don't follow my instructions, if you don't follow my commandments, then here's what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to send hurricanes and floods and droughts, and I'm going to punish you. And so you want to limit God's punishment. All of you people down there that buy hurricane insurance, you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, you know, God might come by here and send a hurricane over here and punish me. So I'm going to beat God at his own game. I'm going to buy hurricane insurance. Then if my house is blown down, the insurance company will come in and build me a new house. Same thing with the fire. It's called limited liability. Well, you don't want God to punish you. And you don't want to obey God and keep his commandments either. So the insurance company comes along and says, we will protect you from God, except for an act of God. So they write that right into the policy. Now, the reason that you're buying this insurance is because you don't obey God and keep his commandments, and so you need protection. And so the insurance company says, we'll sell you the protection because we run a protection racket, but we won't protect you against God. They write it right in the policy. It's called acts of God. We don't pay. What in the hell do you need insurance for if they're not going to protect you from acts of God? Now you say, well, my house burned down. That was because the electrician didn't wire it up properly, and so we had an electrical fire. That's called time and chance. Time and chance. You'll see that in Ecclesiastes. Time and chance happens to us all. Well, time and chance doesn't happen to you if you're under the terms of the contract. Under the terms of the contract, everything you put your hand to do will prosper. And your house burning down isn't prosperity, partner. And your house being blown away or your house washing away in Biloxi ain't prosperity. That's a curse. That's a loss. Now, the average kitchen fire member is $14,000. So the insurance company sells you a policy for $500, gives you 200-to-1 odds. And sure enough, you have a fire. And then it burns your kitchen up, $14,000. The insurance company comes in, pays $14,000, fixes your kitchen back, takes care of the smoke damage, and you're back on your way. So one day you wake up and you say, well, wait a minute. If the average fire is only $14,000, then why do I want to pay $500 and get 200-to-1 odds? Why don't I just buy $14,000 worth of insurance and take even money? Hell, that makes all the sense in the world. Think about it. Instead of buying an insurance policy for $100,000, because you know that your house isn't going to burn to the ground because the last house to burn to the ground was in 1957. And the reason your house can't burn to the ground is because we got a fire department about every 10 or 15 blocks scattered all over the city. And we did that to protect the insurance industry. Did you think we got all these fire departments and we got these full-time fire engines and fire chiefs and all these guys working out here to protect you, the buying public? Huh? Huh? Come on. Come on, Charlie. Can you wake up and smell the coffee here or are you still half asleep? That's to protect the insurance industry. And here's the way that one works. That's really neat. Hey, did you go down to the city council and testify that you're concerned about the health, safety, and welfare of the public and we need another fire department at Fairview and Orchard? Huh? Did you do that? But no, you didn't. But you can rest assured that the insurance industry did. Now, I know you're paying property tax on this house. So you're paying protection money to the insurance company in case it burns to the ground. And then you're paying protection money to the city to build a fire department to come out and put the fire out to limit the loss to $14,000 so that you can't get your 200-to-1 odds. Excuse me? Hey, wait a minute. Hold on here a second. Let's walk into the crap table. And let's put $5 on the field. Let's bet $5 on 12 and insist that the croupier furnish us with dice with no sixes on them, huh? Huh? Let's do that. No sixes on the dice. Betting $5 on 12. Here we go. Throw the dice. Because that's what you're doing there when you buy fire insurance on your house. I lived up on North Roosevelt Street. There was a fire engine house down on Americana, about 4 blocks away, as I recall, 6 at most. There was one on Orchard, about 4, 5, 6 blocks away, and there was one on Fairview, about 4, 5, or 6 blocks away. I just happened to be in a triangle. Now, when you call in that you got a fire, all three companies don't come out. I think I was in the Americana Fire District, as I recall, and it would be the Americana truck that comes over to your house. But hell, I was surrounded by fire and firehouses. So when I bet my $500 that my house is going to burn down, the insurance company is covering or hedging their bet with three fire insurance or fire departments who are going to come put the fire out. And get this, who gets to pay for the fire departments? Well, it doesn't come out of your insurance premium. That comes out of your taxes. So you're paying $500 a year taxes and $500 a year for fire insurance. Now, see if I understand this right. You buy the insurance so you can get 200-to-1 odds. Your house can't burn down because you got a fire department that you're paying $500 a year to support. What the hell kind of sense does that make? I mean, come on, guys. Come on, guys. Let's wake up. So here's what we're going to do. We're not going to buy $100,000 worth of fire insurance. We're only going to buy $14,000 worth. We can play the same odds the insurance company does. Can't we? So we buy $14,000 worth of insurance. Now we have a fire. And it costs $14,000 to fix your house. Now what does the insurance company do? They come out and they say, well, wait a minute. You had your house underinsured. You see, you only had 14% of the amount of insurance that you needed to carry for full coverage. So therefore, we're only going to pay you 14% of the $14,000 damage. Did you get that, boys and girls? Did you understand how that insurance works? Huh? Did you understand that full coverage clause, you know, about paragraph 12, 13? Well, hang on here, kids. We'll be right back, and we'll talk about full coverage after I remind you here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. Now, we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. So the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not its 8 schools and all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school teaches or offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. And once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements or recommendations that we give out don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be, not necessarily, but they may be, hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. However, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about insurance as a crime. We're talking about fire insurance. Everybody's got it. If you have a house, if you have a home, you have a mortgage, you got fire insurance. And that's because the bank insists upon it. I mean, you probably even have a life insurance policy on it. But I just wanted to concentrate on the fire insurance over here because $14,000 used to be a kitchen fire's price, and so logical thing to do is to insure your house for $14,000. I mean, after all, you're paying $500 a year in taxes to provide yourself with fire protection from the city, who's got a fire department close by your house, so that when you call in, say, I got a kitchen fire, they'll rush out, put the fire out, and limit the damage. Now, since we know the average is $14,000, then why don't we just insure our houses for $14,000 or $28,000 or $48,000? Why carry full coverage? And that's because the insurance companies are not dummies. Those boys can count, and they don't even have to take their shoes off like I do. And so they're not dumb. They say, well, hell, you know, if we want to make money, we got to charge for the full value of the house. So we want you to insure your house. In fact, your insurance agent every so many years, every so often, he calls up and says, hey, listen, the value of your house has gone up, and we need to raise the insurance on your house. Well, that's so that when you have full coverage on the value of your house, when you have a fire or a casualty, then they will pay you the full value of the fire or the casualty. Not the full value of the house, just the full value of the damage. But they've got it built in, statistically built in, that they'll never have to pay you the full $100,000. You're paying premiums on the $100,000, but they'll never pay that amount. They'll only pay half that. Well, statistically, I mean, it could happen. I mean, your house could burn to the ground in Boise, Idaho. But it's not very likely. Now, let's look at another factor. How many houses are there in Boise, Idaho, and what's the profit margin that the fire insurance companies are making there? Well, there's about 100,000 people. There's about four people to a family. There's about 25,000 houses in Boise, Idaho. And these 25,000 houses are all paying about $500 a year, or about $12,500,000 a year in fire insurance premiums. Now, the fire insurance industry, they want to make sure that you believe in democracy. And so they say to you, you can choose any insurance company you want. And the bank says, hey, we require that you have fire insurance, but we don't tell you which fire insurance company to buy your insurance from. That's your choice. So it's a little better than Luigi. You know, he comes in and he says, you pay me the $100 every Wednesday or your store is going to burn down. You got to pay Luigi every Wednesday. So he doesn't offer you any choices. And that's because, see, the mafia is not nearly as well organized as John Hancock and a Mutual of Omaha. See, the boardroom hoodlums use the police power of the state. They don't care which insurance company you buy it from, because they've got the whole thing sewed up. You're going to buy the insurance, period. See, Luigi can't make everybody buy insurance, just the ones that he can con into it. But the police power of the state comes along, they make everybody buy auto insurance. Everybody, the banks, make everybody buy fire insurance. Okay, so now they got you. And I would suspect that these fire insurance companies are paying the banks a kickback. I suspect that. I don't know that. So I can't tell you that, but I'm suspicious. I'm just naturally that way. I'm suspicious. Based upon my experience so far, that's just about where that's coming from. All right, so now the fire insurance company over here, now they got you locked in. There's 25,000 of these houses. They got you locked in by the banks now. You got to buy the insurance. They got you paying $12,500,000. Now, we already know that your house ain't going to burn to the ground. So how many fires are there in Boise, Idaho in a year? And the answer to that is one a week, 52 a year. I got that right from the fire department itself. Now, you know, 1 week they might have six fires, but, you know, they might have 6 weeks they don't have any fires. And so they average 52 fires a year. Now, the average fire is $14,000. See, we already know that from the Fire Insurance Institute. So we got $14,000 then times 52, and that's $728,000. $728,000 a year. It's rounded off to $750,000. About $750,000 a year. Now, they're selling $12 million worth of fire insurance. Got that? So $12 million divided by and $750,000. Let's just do it. So we put in $12 million here, my little Texas Instrument, EL1197 G3. We'll handle this. And so I'm going to put another zero in there. Let's see, that's one, two. I've got to put another zero in there. That's 12. There it is, $12 million, point, divided by $750,000, 2, 3, 16. My God. They make 16 times more than they pay out. So they make $16 for every $1 that they have to pay out. How's that for a plan? Now remember, in the auto insurance business, they take in a dollar and they pay out 11 cents. In the fire insurance business, they take in $16 and they pay out $1. How's that for a plan? Hey, is that fire insurance valuable? Is that a good business? You know, I haven't paid any fire insurance. I got a can over here. You know, my slush fund can. Remember I told you about that slush fund can? And I put those insurance premium dollars in my own can. I'm self-insured, and hell, my house can burn to the ground. In fact, if my house catches on fire, it's guaranteed to burn to the ground. Absolutely guaranteed. In fact, here in Ozark County, I don't know of anybody's house that caught on fire that didn't burn to the ground. See, I'm out here in the countryside. By the time we call up our volunteer fire department, the best you can hope for is that they'll come out and keep any other buildings from burning down. That's all our fire department does. See, when you get a building on fire, you call the fire department, and you go to work on putting the fire out, and what you're trying to do is keep the barn from catching the machine shed or the garage on fire, and trying to keep the house from catching on fire, and the chicken house, and the playhouse. And that's all you're trying to do is protect the other buildings here. When it catches on fire, it's going to burn to the ground. In fact, once you get the fire department there, you tell the boys, back off, don't put any water on. Let's just put the water on the other buildings. Let the thing burn to the ground. Clean up the mess. So we're going to have to build it over again anyway. Might as well just start with clean ground rather than have to tear the wreckage down. It takes a lot more time, effort, and energy. Just burn it up right there and get it out of the way, and then we can rebuild. But when you go to the city, they don't do that, see? They don't want that thing to burn to the ground. They don't want to pay you 100 cents on the dollar. So out here in the countryside, when we have a fire, it's going to burn right to the ground. And so I have two houses. I don't know if I told you this or not, but I have two houses. See, my house could burn to the ground. You're going to say to me, I thought you were obeying God and keeping His commandments, and everything that you touch turns to gold, and then you'd be a bitch. You don't have those kind of problems like the rest of us. Well, what if I was to break the law? Hey, you know, what if I didn't do what I was told, and what if time and chance happened to me and God didn't protect me? Take a look at Job, you know. He got wiped out, didn't he? So I saved my insurance premiums and went out and bought a second house. I got another house up here. It ain't much of a house, but, you know, in case mine burns down, I got a roof over my head. And then I've got a can over here, and if my house burns down, I got enough in that can to rebuild this house. You know, over 25 years, you know, stick 25 years, $500 a year, 500 times 25, then we got $12,500. Now, that'll buy me building materials, and then I got to get out there and furnish my labor. If I got $12,500 worth of building materials plus $12,500 worth of my labor, that's $25,000. I can build a $50,000 house. Well, you know, it's what you guys, when you people buy a $50,000 house, have you got any idea what the costs are? Well, let me tell you. A $50,000 house has $12,500 worth of material, $12,500 worth of labor, and $25,000 worth of profit. Now, that's the way we contractors build houses. Just thought I'd pass that on to you. So instead of hiring me to build your house, you know, instead of going to the bank and get this, watch this. You go out and buy this $50,000 house at 6% interest for 30 years. Now, you got a $12,500 material bill, $12,500 labor cost, a $25,000 profit that you finance for 30 years and pay $112,000 for. And if you're paying 8% interest, then you're buying two houses for the banker and one house for you, same $12,500 worth of materials. Now, you know, if you people had learned how to build a house, and you can do this from a Time Life book, that's the way my wife built her house as my second wife. She and her husband at the time built a house. They built a big house for $12,500. In fact, it's less than that. They paid $7,000 for the material, and the two of them went to work, and in 36 months, they had their house built. I just want to point out that before banks and interest, and before insurance companies and fire insurance companies, do you know that people had houses? People had homes? Uninsured, for sure, but they did. And did you know they owned those homes free and clear? About the time they drove the last nail, they owned everything in it, free and clear. Did you know that? Now, I wanted to point that out to you because we Americans, you know, we believe in what we call a turnkey home. Boy, we pay for that. And you know that insurance that limits your liability, we pay for that. You know that fire department down the street, we pay for that. And all those costs impoverish us, and that's the penalty that we're paying, the impoverishment, the loss of our standard of living is what we're paying for this insurance. That's the bottom line. So that's why I said, you know, there's no such thing as a crime without a penalty. So if you want to break the law, you got to pay the piper, and the piper is the insurance premium, and as you pay these insurance premiums, you live poor. Now, Americans used to live better than they do today. And then we're living in poor times, and they're going to get a whole lot poorer before long. Now, tuck that away in your heart. Insurance is a bet. An insurance company, just like the gambling casino, they know what the odds are. They know what the numbers are. You don't. And hell, they ain't about to tell you either. So you're in the dark. You haven't got any idea what the policy limit is. They do. You don't know what the profit margin is. They do. And I didn't tell you about the rest of it. Their profits in Boise, Idaho are just god-awful. All I told you about was the 25,000 homes that are there. Look at all the businesses that are there, and the businesses pay more than the homeowners, more than the homeowners. And all those businesses, they only have one fire a week, whether it's a business or whether it's a home. They got one fire a week, 52 fires a year. So that 12,500,000 is probably about half. That would be my guess. I don't have absolute knowledge of all the numbers. The fire industry does. You can bet that. By God, they know what the numbers are. And they're not out there insuring your house for no good reason. They know that it's a pretty damn safe bet that your house isn't going to burn down. And for you to make a bet, $500 a year, and take 200-to-1 odds, that's a bad bet. When you put $5 on the field and you're betting on boxcars, that's a bad bet. And anybody that can add and subtract would tell you, oh, my God, that's a terrible bet. There isn't a bet on the field. The field's taken 35% of every dollar you bet on it, if I remember right. I think it's 35%. The worst bet on a crap table is the field. The best bet on the crap table is the don't pass side, what they call behind the line. It's just a little bit better than the pass side. Nobody bets on the back side of the line. Most people bet on the line, but you know, if you wanted to know what the actual numbers are. Well, now the insurance company, they know what the actual numbers are. That's the way they make their living. That's the way they make their money. They know when a hurricane comes through, how much they have to pay out. And they scream and they cry like farmers at the auction barn. I mean, I've never heard a farmer that ever had a good word to say about his income or his living. Every time, oh my God, the costs are up and prices are down and the weather's bad. But they keep going back to farming. And I'm a farmer, and I'm here to tell you that I make money farming, and all the farmers are making money farming, and we cry, and we're sad, and we're down at the mouth, and prices are down. But now, when prices are up, we don't talk about that. But when prices are down, God, we cry a lot. And I'm not here to tell you that farm prices are at the peak of their game, but I'm here to tell you that the fire insurance companies and insurance companies, they cry a lot about their payouts. But my God, their profit margin is second only to the banks, and the banks are second only to the whores in the pharmaceutical industry. These guys are making money hand over fist. You got the three biggies over here. You know what they are. It's banking, insurance, and drugs. Those are the three biggies. Those guys are making money hand over fist. We ought to be out of insurance, drugs, and banking. For little guys like us, we don't need those businesses at all. None. Zero. Zilch. Now, once in a while, we get a little poetic justice. I told you last time about the Ketchikan, Alaska case. Well, there's another case came up here. And I'll tell you a story. It's called the Haslett case. And if I remember right, the company that this lady, Mrs. Haslett, got involved in was called Pacific Mutual Indemnity. And here's what they did. See, these insurance companies, they play the numbers. These guys, it's like running a casino. And so they're betting the odds and betting the numbers. See, this company has a computer, see, and they figure out that when a customer comes in and they have a $5,000 claim, and the insurance company has a lot of these $5,000 claims. So they got to looking at their numbers, and they said, you know, if we just don't pay this $5,000, I mean, we don't deny that we owe it. They had a policy, they have a claim, the claim is just, and we owe them the money. But if we don't pay them, just tell them to go to hell. We ain't paying, period. The worst that can happen is that they'll sue us. And when they sue us for $5,000, the worst that can happen is that they'll sue us for punitive damages, and the punitive damages can't be more than $5,000. So the most that we're going to lose is $10,000. How many people actually sue us? And the answer is only 1 in 100 or 1 in 90 or something like that. So if we don't pay, if 100 claims come in for $5,000 each, and we pay them, we have to pay out $500,000. And that's fair and square because we took in $1 million worth of premiums, and now we have to pay out $500,000 worth of claims, and that's fair and square, and we owe the money, and we ought to pay it. But they looked at the numbers, and they said, how many of these people actually sue us if we don't pay? And it was only a fraction of the number. So some bright guy comes in and says, hell, let's just not pay anything. Just come up with a company policy. If you've got a claim, $5,000 or under, we just ain't paying, period. And you can just go buy insurance someplace else. Now, because it's cheaper for us to do that. And so then instead of paying out, you know, $500,000, 100 of these guys will sue us. And if 100 of them sue us for $10,000 each, you know, well, 10,000 times 100, how much is it? There's 10,000 times 100. That'd be $1 million. That's equal to all of our premiums that we paid in. But they got to looking at it, and it was less than that. It was less than the $500,000 that they would normally have to pay out. Maybe it's maybe 10. So they just developed a policy, and they quit paying it out, and they were pocketing the difference. Well, this lady's name is Haslett, see? And she must have had some money because she took this case clear to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I know it cost her about $250,000 to do that, $150,000 to $250,000. And she was only arguing over $5,000. But if the insurance company owes you $5,000 and you go hire a lawyer, the lawyer says, I want you to pay me $5,000. Well, how much are you going to collect? Well, maybe $10,000. But most of the time, you're going to lose, and so, you know, it isn't worth your time. So then you get mad, and so you change insurance companies, and they screw you. And that's what they're doing down on the Gulf Coast. These insurance companies, they're screwing all of you policyholders down there. They don't care. You know, half of you people down there are going to leave Allstate, and then you're going to go to John Hancock, and half the policyholders at John Hancock are going to leave John Hancock and go to Allstate. All that it means is the banks require that you buy insurance, and you're going to change companies. But hell, they all belong to the same club, so you're just going to change from one thief to another thief. That's all. But the Supreme Court looked at that, and they said, wait a minute, this is a systemic fraud. And this lady had sued for, I don't know, $1 million or something. I forgot the amount she sued for, but it was more than the $5,000. And the insurance company came in and said, ha, 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 you can only get punitive damages of equal amount. But the Supreme Court changed the rule. It's now called the Hassler rule. And you can sue the insurance company for the actual damages of $5,000 and any amount of punitive damages, as long as you meet the 12-part test. So the Supreme Court imposed a 12-part test. And if you can meet that 12-part test, you can sue them for $5,000 and then ask for punitive damages of $5 million. Now, that'll break them suckers from sucking eggs. An old Judge Callison told me one time, he said, you know, there's only one guy out there that cares about you, and that's the claims adjuster or the claims manager. Actually, not the adjuster, but the claims manager of the insurance company. Now, he's concerned about your rights. And what we need to do is to make the insurance company bleed. You make the insurance company bleed. And in order to do that, you got to take them to court. Every time. And next time, I'm going to show you how to do that. You got to make them suckers bleed. Now, if you can make them bleed enough green dollars, by God, that'll break them from sucking eggs, and they'll start paying off. Because then it's cheaper for them to pay what they actually owe than it is to screw you out of it. But in order to make them actually pay what they owe, somebody's got to take them to task. And it's darn hard to get your lawyer to take them to task because they're buying him off. See, the insurance company can buy off your lawyer and pay their lawyer and make money on the transaction. And after all, your lawyer is an entrepreneur. You know, it's nothing personal. I told you this last time. It's just business. Your attorney is a businessman. The insurance company is a business. The law firm working for the insurance company, they're businessmen. And all of these businessmen are in business to make money. And you, the policyholder, you need to be a businessman or a businesswoman. Nothing personal. It's just business. I bought the policy. I paid the premiums. And by God, you're going to pay me. Bottom line, you're going to pay. And if you don't pay me, then you're going to pay your law firm, or you're going to pay fines, or you're going to pay somebody. But by God, you ain't getting out of here making a profit. So next time, I'm going to show you how to do that. It's not all that difficult to do, and it's being done. I mean, there are people out there that make the insurance companies pay and make them pay every damn dollar they owe. And the next time, I'm going to show you how to do that. But meanwhile, back on the farm, I'm out of time again. I've got to give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and